Father, bless your people today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your graciousness. We thank you for your love and mercy toward us today. We pray that the windows of heaven would be open, our hearts receptive, that truth would reign in this place on such a level that we would have insight. I thank you for it's the truth that we know and embrace that gives us freedom. So right now, by faith, I speak the anointing of liberty and freedom in the lives of every person. Whatever has bound them from you and from your best, we curse and break it, and we loose, Father God, your best, your goodness, your power, your anointing to change our perspective, to change our hearts, to grow us into the character and nature of Jesus. And we give you praise, and we thank you for your word. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, if you ever walked in, and maybe as a kid you might have done this, and walked in to see your child, and they put a rubber band around their arm, and after a while it gets tingly, and then it starts getting numb, and then it starts swelling, and you walk in and say, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, I just tied a rubber band real tight around my arm. Well, you need to stop that. I know, it's starting to hurt. Could you pray for me? You start praying for your child. Lord, we just pray for a flow of blood to come into that hand. Father, I thank you that with you all things are possible, and we just speak supernatural blood to flow through the fingers and fill up that hand and all the throbbing go away. And Lord, my child's a good child, and they don't deserve to be going through this. Almost sounds like a good prayer, don't it? But all of a sudden, you can look and say, wait a minute, it's not necessarily just a prayer that I need for God to add something. I need to be able to understand what is restricting what God has already prepared for me. See, the flow of blood from your body to your hand is a natural, automatic thing. You don't wake up in the morning and say, Lord, let blood just flow to my hand. But if something's restricting that blood flow, you might need to pray for wisdom so you can figure it out and take that off so what God has already established can happen automatically. God already created the system, but there's something restricting the system from it from working correctly in your life. You see, why am I talking about that? Well, this whole series that we just started last week is talking about the covenant or the contract that God has. The New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Contract that is purchased and created and started and sealed by the precious blood of Jesus when he went to Calvary is for you. It encompasses this concept that we called salvation or being saved. And you can ask people, are you saved? Oh, I'm saved. I'm born again. What does that mean? They only know little bits of the contract. And if you don't understand the boundaries of the contract, the enemy, John 10:10, can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And a lot of Christians, because they don't know the boundaries of the contract, are praying, God, I need you to add this to me. God, I need you to bring this to me. And God said, it's already established in the covenant, in the contract. There's something taking it from you. Let's deal with the enemy that's trying to clog up, restrict, or prevent that flow into the hand that I've given you. Because I already created a system. It's an amazing system, and it'll bring all the blood your hand needs. But you got to be willing to remove the thing the enemy set up to restrict what God has already prepared for you. Some of us pray, God, I need more money. God, I need more energy. God, I need, you got to understand, under the contract, it's already prepared, and God has set it up for it to flow freely in your life. I know, I just feel the resistance of religion, so just hang with me. Stay with me long enough. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. We're going somewhere. Say, I'm going somewhere. I mean, Israel, when they were leaving bondage, they went from not enough. They were traveling, and as they would, they were like, we're hungry. And so Moses prayed, and every morning they would go out and get the manna, just enough. Every day they had just enough. Every day they had just enough, but God's plan was not for them to have just enough. God's plan was to take them in the promised land where it flowed milk and honey. So there's a flowing and there's a falling. You can't control what's falling, and you can just hope God will do it again. But there's a level where you can walk with God and the things of God will flow out of your innermost being. Shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke of the Holy Spirit, but that impacts every area of your life. God doesn't want you to be struggling every day just hoping to get ends meet. He wants it to flow in your life. And you say, but God, I'm just needing, send me more of this. And God's saying, I already created an amazing system for it to flow in your life. And if it's not flowing, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that the devil has tried to steal it, but we are bringing light to where the enemy operates in darkness. And when light comes, darkness must flee. Catch a thief, the Bible says, and he has to restore seven times. Catch him. That means bring light to the situation. The entrance of God's word brings that light. And so we don't need to know denomination talk. We don't need to know religious talk. Some people can tell me what their denomination believes, but they don't know what the Bible believes. We need to know what God says in his word, not what people say, but what God says in his word, and allow the power and the truth and the light of God's word, like Matthew 13, like a seed, to generate in our heart, and we embrace it, we obey it, and it begins to bring a change. It removes the restrictions off your life. In the name of Jesus, I break every restriction out of your life, that the light of God's truth would shine, and you begin to see the areas the enemy is trying to steal from you. I don't know about you, but if the devil's stealing from this area, that area, I like to know it. If you're in a boat and there's water coming in and there's a leak, I like to know what I need to plug up. Amen. I need to know what needs to be different. I need to know what is out of alignment or out of order that the enemy is stealing and draining from me. Instead of me praying for more of this, wait a minute, God's already created the system for all their stuff to be taken care of. But we'll get into that in a few seconds. And this contract is more than just a blessing. This contract is more than just a benefit. This contract is a contract of power. Last week we talked about that. If your child was hungry and kept crying, I'm hungry, and you kept giving them food, but every time you gave them food, a bully stood right there and took it from them, then you'd come to the conclusion, but if I'm going to bless my child, if I'm going to feed my child, if I'm going to take care of my child, then I got to take care of the bully first. And so God established this new covenant, new contract, and what was one of the first things he did? He defeated the devil at the cross. And then he went into the dominion of the damned for 3 days, not to suffer. Some people believe he suffered. I don't believe he suffered. I believe he went in there and stripped the devil of the authority, the keys of the kingdom that belonged to Adam, that Adam gave up to the devil. And when Jesus was resurrected, he told the disciples, all power, which is authority, all power in heaven and in earth belong to me now. Now you go in my name, my representation, stand in the gap for me. And that's a powerful thing when we understand the context. Because in those days, if you went as an ambassador or a representative of that person, it was as if the person was there themselves. You go. I have the authority. I'm getting you to follow, flow with me, and all you will see what I have provided for you. It's available to you. If you're not there yet, don't feel bad. We're all growing in the things of God. We should all be growing in one area or another. No one's perfect except for Jesus. So the devil will say, oh, they're making you feel bad. And that's a resistance of the carnal mind, because you won't want to receive, because that means you didn't do it right the first time. And who likes to admit they didn't do it right the first time? But welcome to salvation, because none of us, we all started at the same point and we all missed the mark. Amen. So it's better now than later. So I should have done this before. You should have, you could have, but you didn't. But praise God, don't let it buy any time behind you now. Start today. Start applying God's word and watch what God will do, because it is a contract of power. I like saying it this way. It's your DNA to win. It's your the Bible tells us, challenge it, that in the New Testament, that the seed of God, which is the nature, the seed of God is in you. That's why you can't live in sin and be saved, because his seed is in you. His seed is also a seed of winning. He is more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not designed to lose. You are not a loser. You maybe have lost a lot of rounds. You maybe have lost a lot of games, but don't let life tell you that you're a winner or a loser. Let the word of God tell you who you are. You are a tree that will not fall too far from, you're an apple that will not fall too far from the tree. You are a winner. You are connected to the vine. You are a branch. You are in the family of God. You are a child of God. You are the head and not the tail. You are a winner. Say, I'm a winner. We won't go into that too much. Some of us don't believe it now, but that's okay. We just gave you a CD. Listen to it. Challenge it with the word of God and get the word in your life, because what defines you as a winner is not your past. It's your present, who God called you to be. But I've been knocked down. Well, stand back up. You got another round in you. They might try to bury you, but that can't keep you down. You're coming to the top. You say, oh, they pushed me down deep, but that's okay. I'm coming to the top. They can't keep me out of this. You're a winner in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. It is a covenant of power. The key verse we started with is the Revelation 12:11. For they overcame, and they overcame him, referring to the bully, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then it goes on to say, and they loved not their life unto death. Why do I say that? Because some people say, well, that's talking about in heaven. And heavenly people, then why did they not love their life unto death? It's talking about the people on this side of eternity. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That blood represents the covenant, the contract. If you don't understand the terms of the contract, then you don't know how to play the game. If you don't understand how the rules of basketball work, then you can't play the game well. Because I'm telling you, you'll try some things thinking this will work, and then they call you, give you a foul. Well, I just did my best. I thought I could kick the ball. No, you can't kick the ball. You can't do that. Well, I saw people on TV. That's a different game. Can't kick the ball here. Well, I grabbed the ball and took off running. No, you can't do that. Foul. Can't do walking. You can't do that. Well, I saw another game. That's football. You can't do that here. Can't do that here. This is basketball. What can I do? You got to learn the boundaries. When you learn the boundaries, you'll play well. And you have the potential in you to win. Can I get an amen? But if you keep fouling out, guess what? You're going to find yourself on the bench of life, not even trying. And there's a lot of Christians, because they didn't understand the terms of the contract. They didn't understand the boundaries of that contract, that they kept trying and they failed. They kept trying and they kept on getting punished. And all of a sudden, they are like, I'm not going to try no more. And they spend the rest of their life on this earth living the way the world lives, living the way average Christians live. And there shouldn't be no such thing as average Christians, because you're called to come out from this world and be separate, to be peculiar, is the word that King James says. Peculiar doesn't mean your hair or your clothes or the way you talk. Some people think peculiar means squinting your eyes and talking. Well, the Lord, praise God. I wish I could do that. I'm not a good singer. If I could sing, I'd probably include that a little more in my preaching, but that doesn't make it spiritual. Did you hear me? When you get in line to order food at a fast food, you don't have to squint your eyes and say, the Lord is showing me. I saw a video. Some guy was at Walmart and decided to start preaching, and someone posted, having church in Walmart. That's not having church. If the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do it, all you're doing is making a spectacle of yourself. That's not being peculiar. That's just being weird. And weird people, we love them, but they're still weird. They were weird before Jesus got to them. They were weird before they accepted them and gotten saved, and Jesus is working the weirdness out of them. No, peculiar doesn't mean weird. Peculiar means you rise above the rest. You don't fight like everybody else fights. You don't have to live like everybody else lives. You might look like your neighbor, but you operate at a different level because you operate in the name of Jesus by kingdom principles. You operate by the principles of the word of God and the kingdom of God. You might not have seen in the past, but I'm here to tell you where you're going, not where you've been. I'm not here to tell you what makes sense to your mind, but what your spirit can grasp and say, wait a minute, that's me, that's me, that's me. I'm not a failure, I'm a winner. I'm the head and not the tail. Jesus said, listen, your Father knows you have need of things just like the world, but seek first the kingdom of God. That means the word kingdom means how the king does stuff. how the king does stuff. You, most people think that means, oh, just giving an offering or going to church or having a warm and fuzzy about Jesus. No, that's not what it's talking about. Because you can cry and worship and go out and operate like the world, make decisions like the world, talk about people like the world, cut people down and rip them apart like the world, be offended and unforgiveness like the world. You can operate and fight people like the world. Or you can say, I'm going to do it the way the king does stuff. Seek first, make a priority how the king operates, then all this stuff will be added to you. He didn't say taken away from you. He said added to you. And my second point for this series is that it is a covenant of blessing. It is a covenant of blessing. And this thing is hard to talk about sometimes because people's perspective of what that means. And it goes in all different crazy extremes. No, stay in center of the word of God. Stay in balance. Stay in the middle of the road. Don't go to extremes. You go to extremes, you're going to find yourself in a ditch one day. No, no, drive in the center of the road. What am I telling you? If the truth is still the truth, even if people mess it up, twist it, or make it all crazy. And some people have taken, this is one truth that people have made crazy sometimes. They've gone to such extremes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
One extreme is they believe that God wants you poor. I had a person come to my office years ago. And they were filling out a spiritual, like, questionnaire to find out your spiritual giftedness. And one of those gifts was poverty. And I guess you could tell by my expression that I didn't like that one. Pastor, what's wrong? Don't you believe that poverty is a spiritual gift? No. You mean, Pastor, you don't believe you can give your money away and live in poverty? And I said, not if you give correctly. There's a lot of preachers that'll preach, God wants you poor, and then they get mad if you don't give enough in the offering. Doesn't make sense to me. They'll tell you, this is what come in, and we need more. Let's do another offering. And they'll do everything from trampling people and yelling at people. We're going to take up a second or third one, and we'll even have you come up to tell you how much you give. That's foolishness. I love them, but that's foolishness. You teach people that are to be poor, and then you ask them for an offering to get mad if they don't give. Well, how can they give if they're doing what you mean? You can't back to this. You can't give to and live in poverty. Not if you give the way the Bible says. The Bible says give. You guys are good. And it shall, I like you guys. And it shall be what? Given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall be given to your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. See, now you can give all your money away and live in poverty, but just because you gave it away, God, it doesn't mean that you gave it the correct way. Did you hear me? See, it's just not a matter of you throwing money in the offering. I'm going to tell you straight. Some people think, just give more money in the offering. Sometimes it's just not a matter of you giving more money in the offering. You need to obey God with your giving. Can I get an amen? He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Some is for sowing, some is for eating. It's not God, you say, God should own it. He owns it all anyway. And when you follow the direction, the principles of God, there's some to pay bills, some to enjoy, because he delights in the prosperity of his servants. The Bible says, but all of it belongs to him anyway. And so you're like, you need to give a bigger offering. Maybe not. What does God tell you to do? See, I'm going to be the pastor that tells you it's not about you just giving a bigger offering. It might be, it might not be. We want you to obey God and what he reveals to your heart from his word and not the pressure of man. Because God loves a cheerful giver, not someone who's under a compulsion. Well, I gave $1,000 and 30 days later, God gave me $30,000. Woohoo, praise God. And then they say on TV, now if you call in right now. And you give $1,000 too. That blessing of a $30,000 is coming your way. Maybe not, maybe not. See, what they tell but they don't include is that God told them to give $1,000. And God brought the $30,000. If God didn't tell you to give $1,000, then don't give $1,000. Because if you give $1,000, you're just whatever you're doing out of your own ability. But if God tells you to do it, what God is revealing your heart to do. God, oh, God's not a respecter of persons. The principle works for everything. Then get out in a boat and step out of the water. God told Peter, Jesus said, Peter, step out. And Peter walked on the water. If you get in a boat and Jesus doesn't tell you to step out, you better stay in. Or at least know how to swim. Can I get an amen? We're going to stay right in the middle of the road, right? We're not going to go to extreme. And some have taken it to such extreme that if you don't drive a Mercedes or Bentley, you're not spiritual. Well, that's just the dumbest thing I've heard all day, because how do you, if it's all about the bling, how do you win the local drug dealer that has more cash in his pocket than you've made all year? Give your heart to Jesus and he'll make you rich. They're already rich when it comes to that money, but they aren't rich when it comes to the real deal, and they're struggling under torment. Do you see the balance? So there's got to be a balance. Some people just don't know and they're making mistakes. Some people are manipulating the crowds for their own benefit. And when you manipulate people for your benefit, I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe it's somebody online. Maybe somebody through a CD. Maybe somebody through whatever. When you manipulate people for your benefit, you are bringing yourself in a bad place. Because this is a covenant contract of love. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Do you know why some people don't get blessed? Because their only reason for blessing is to consume it to themselves. Now, God wants you to have stuff, and he doesn't mind you having stuff. He doesn't want stuff to have you. Some people just need more because they are so under the consumption rule of what makes me happy. They're buying more and buying more just to make themselves happy, that there's no balance. Yeah. Of course, they can't give because they're still paying on credit cards and stuff they wanted from before. Now it's getting quiet. I always think it's amazing how people, when it comes to, see, tithes and offerings are behind us. I can talk about this now. I always think it's interesting how you talk about tithes and offerings and people say, oh, I can't give. I have a budget. And yet you look at their credit cards filled with stuff that they couldn't afford, but they bought anyway. Don't shout me down now. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Just say, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. My days are going to get brighter. Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter to the completed day. Say, I'm growing. Don't feel bad. Just start doing the right thing. Amen. So let's look at our first key verse here. And we throw that on the screen. And the Bible tells us, Christ purchased our freedom. Now, this is the Amplified. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us. Say redeem.
Redeem.
Redeem is a purchase word. It's a transaction. What, you redeem a coupon. You purchase something. Jesus purchased us by his blood. The Bible says you were not purchased with corruptible things, silver and gold, but you were purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Did you hear me? And because you were bought, you belong to him. Say, I belong to God. I'm a child of God. You mess with me, you mess with God. God told Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And those who bless you, I'll bless. And those who curse you. We keep loving people, but let God deal with them. Can I get an amen? If someone messes with your car, they just mess with you. Someone messes with your house or your apartment, they just mess with you. Someone messes with your children, they mess with you. You mess with God's. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse. Say the curse.
The curse.
Now here's where some people, we can miss this. When you understand the curse is described and defined in detail in Deuteronomy 28. Don't take my word for it. Challenge this. The curse is defined in Deuteronomy 28. It was all based on two sides, the blessing and the curse. And God said, choose this day the blessing and have life. What was the connection? Obey me and you'll be blessed. Disobey me and you'll be cursed. If you look at it, it's too long of a chapter to talk about today. Read it on your own, because when you challenge what I say, and I encourage you to do that by studying the Word of God, you will dig deeper, which means you will grow stronger. The benefits of obedience was blessing, healing, health. I mean, it goes on and on and on. What you do is going to succeed on and on and on. The blessing. Under the curse was poverty. Under the curse was sickness. Under the curse was lack. Under the curse. And yet a lot of Christians, because we didn't understand the boundaries of the game or the boundaries of the contract, we found ourselves living in the curse and thinking that it was godly. See, if you don't know the boundaries, then you don't know what you should stand up and stay foul and fight against. Some people embrace sickness. They embrace poverty because someone told them in the religious world that that made them spiritual. And if being poor makes you spiritual, then everybody in Ethiopia should be the most spiritual people on the planet. Well, you know, God will give you hard things so you can learn, you can grow. Lie. It's a lie. Paul told the church, hey, listen, you should be on strong meat right now of the word of God, but you're not. You need to go back to the basics, basically. And he's saying you need to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Well, doesn't the Bible says the Lord won't put more on you? You know, have you ever heard people say that? The Lord doesn't give you more than you can handle. And usually people talk about that with problems. I was watching a movie with my wife and my daughter, and they said that, and my daughter said, what does that mean? I said, it's a lie. Don't worry about it. It's wrong. You mean God won't put more temptation on you? They draw from a verse that says that he will make sure that you'll never be in a position of temptation more than you can handle. But it does not... Am I there? It does not say that the temptation comes from you. For James clarifies and says, let no person that is tempted with evil say that God tempts them. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But a person is tempted with evil when they are drawn away of their own lust, which means desires. Which means I'm doing it my way, not God's way, and they find themselves in a ditch. But what about Job? The Lord gives. And the love. Have you ever heard that? I think that is one of the crazy. I know I might offend you. That is one of the most way out there things. And I'm way past my time, and I haven't even got started yet. Help me, Jesus. I mean, it's like, what about Job? And they draw that out of Job chapter 1. And they're like, well, Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. He pulled down that hedge so the devil could take from him. Well, let's think about this. Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Okay. Secondly, Job said it was in Job chapter 1, verse 21. And he talks about what I have has come from the Lord, and what has been taken, the Lord took it. They even write songs about it today. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? He gives and takes away. You just want to go, eh. Sing that, but I'm not singing that. We're not going to sing that part of it here. I'm not spitting in the face of my Heavenly Father. He's too good. Amen. You say, but it says it, wait a minute. It's just because everything in the Bible is true, but not everything in the Bible is truth. Now don't get mad at me. Hang on. Everything in the Bible is true, but not everything in the Bible is truth. Let me give you another example. Peter was at the fire when Jesus was going through the crucifixion scene, and a servant girl asked Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter said, I don't even know him. Did that happen? Yes, it's true that it happened. But was it truth? No, Peter was lying. I'm trying. Okay. Just for you. It was true. Hang on. It was true that it happened, but it wasn't truth. Now let me validate that with Job. Job said it. But if you look, that was Job 1, verse 21. But if you look at Job chapter 42, you'll find out Job said in that chapter where he repents for speaking of things he did not know. It's in there. Start digging. It's amazing what you find out when you dig deep. It's amazing when you start just digging. I'm going to figure this thing out. In fact, the Bible, Job said out of his own mouth, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. See, that was under the curse. Poverty was under the curse. Poverty, the curse came because of sin. And it wasn't there to help you. In Deuteronomy 28, look at the verse. It says in that chapter that the purpose of the curse, that it will overtake you until you are dead and destroyed. Purpose of the curse wasn't to improve you or inform you. It was to destroy you. Notice what Jesus did. He purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse. Becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs or crucified on the tree. Verse 14. in order, or that the blessings of Abraham, that in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, which is not a spiritual blessing, it's a natural blessing. You say, but I'm not blessed. Does that mean I'm a bad person? No. I'm telling you, you're already blessed. We're going to remove the restrictions that's keeping you from being blessed. You won't. The thief will keep stealing until you stand up to him. Might also come to, in the name of Jesus, might come to the Gentiles so that we would all receive the realization of the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Now there's a spiritual context. So there's a blessing financial context and a spiritual. Let me give you another verse. Let's go to the next one out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians says this way, chapter 8. For you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in his astonishing kindness, his generosity, his gracious favor, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Now stop for a second. I know some people say, well, Pastor, that is a spiritual richness and poverty. But if you look at the chapter, it was talking about giving. If you look at that Greek word for rich, it literally means abundantly blessed. One definition is to be affluent in possessions so that you may be a blessing in bringing the gospel salvation to all. Being blessed so that you can bring the salvation to all. See, wait a minute. We're going to have a perception change here, because now you see God wants you blessed, but he wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to have the idea, I praise God for a nice car, praise God for a nice home, but it's more than that. It's also making sure I'm a part of seeing the gospel sent to other people. How can they receive someone the Bible says that they have not believed in? How can they believe in someone they haven't heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel? I believe that's more than just the people who are speaking. It's the people who are sending. How beautiful are the feet, those who are sending. It's not those who are saying, those who are sending. All of us said, you can see the context here that the blood of Jesus, let me end it with this. The blood of Jesus is not lacking any spiritual power to save every person that hears it. What is lacking in the blood of Jesus or the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the power to save, it's the power to send. What is the tactic of the enemy is to convince people that poverty, either convince them that being poor is spiritual, or being blessed is all about just yourself. Because it breaks the connection of God's blessing being used to send. I'm not saying you have to give all your money so the gospel goes out. No. Bread to the eater, seed to the sower. But when you have a bigger picture that God wants you blessed, and it's in your covenant contract to be blessed, you'll approach the game differently. You won't settle for less. You'll rise up and say, God, you have more. And you might be sitting here saying, but Pastor, I'm on a set income. That's a set income from the world system, not a set income from God's system. And if you believe, just like Abraham, Romans 4, who did not consider the natural, his own physical body, though 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able. And I'm telling you that on the DNA, on the inside of you, and the contract you have with God, You are blessed. And if you're sitting here today and you are on welfare, don't feel bad. Just tell yourself, it's going to be a great story. When God will take me from welfare to blessing. But how's he going to do it? I don't know the how, but you know the who. I don't know the, you know the who. Keep your affection, set your affection on things above. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. You obey him. You walk this out, and you'll be so. I know people today that when they started tithing, we took the tithe earlier, so you know my heart. I know people today that when they started tithing, they were in so much debt they couldn't even tithe. They had no money. But they said to themselves, and that was a heart revelation, that if I got myself in debt by buying stuff, that I can tithe on the credit card if I have to. And they started there, and today they are well taken care of. Well taken care of. I know people who, when they started, that today their tithe is more than what they used to make as a paycheck. We want you blessed. I don't want a big offering for the sake of a big offering. I've had a pastor tell me once, I'm so tired of trying to manipulate the money out of the pockets of the people so I can do what God's called me to do. I don't want that. I'm into the long race. Because if I have to manipulate you to get a big offering to do something today, what am I going to do the next day? I want you to grow in the things of God so that your influence grows, your income grows, your blessing grows, and that your heart is not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And you're excited, for God loves a cheerful giver, because a cheerful giver knows it all comes from Him anyway. Lord, you show me who to bless and I'll bless them. You show me who to help, I'll help them. Because God, I want to get the gospel out so that everybody can hear the goodness of Jesus Christ. When you have a heart to see people's lives change, you better watch out. It's not when you only give just so you can have an increase, and I'm telling you, what you sow, you shall reap. But if your top priority is just getting more stuff for you, and you're wondering why it's not working, because there's this Band-Aid. There's rubber band, I should say, that's around your arm. It's called, you are in number one position. Take yourself out. Make Jesus number one. And watch things change. Because in the contract, you are blessed. You got to get this in your heart before you see it in your pocketbook. When you get this revelation, you'll stand up and say, I'll never be poor another day in my life. And there might not be a dime in your checking account, but there's a revelation in your heart, and that revelation will guide you, direct you, and you'll wake up one day with more than enough. Not so you can impress people, so that you can impact people with the goodness of Jesus. Come on, give them a hand clap of praise. We're done. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I'm a blessing. In Jesus' name. Woo, there's too many scriptures for us to go over today to talk about. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. What about the centurion soldier or the guy who came up, the rich young ruler? Oh, pastor, what about that? See, you have to understand, let religion just keep speaking in your head. And people that don't have the context of the truth of God's word. Because when Jesus knew in his heart, perceived that that man's number one God was money. And he said, give it to the poor. Well, see, he doesn't want them to have it. No. They were still operating under the old covenant. And under the old covenant, look it up. If you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and He will repay. So Jesus wasn't saying you shouldn't have it. Jesus saying, do you trust me enough to let it go for a short time? Paul told Timothy, tell those who are rich in this worldly wealth stuff not to trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God, who has given us richly all things to enjoy. He didn't say make sure they don't have anything. No, in fact, Luke's gospel tells us, I believe it's chapter 11, that it says that how can they entrust you the true riches if you can't handle correctly worldly mammon, which is money? I'm telling you, there's a blessing that's going to stir up on the inside. It's changing your perspective. It's changing your attitude. It's changing your self-esteem. It's going to change your wallet. It's going to change your spending. It's going to change your environment. And you are going to be the greatest blessing in your family in the name of Jesus. I speak, you're going to be the greatest blessing in your neighborhood in the name of Jesus. You are going to be, I'm telling people, are going to say, what in this world has happened to them? Did they have a rich uncle die? something's changed on the inside. You're going to have it, the fire in your eyes, because you walk in knowing that you are blessed coming in and you are blessed going out. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Whatever you put your hands to shall succeed. Hallelujah. You are like a tree planted by the rivers of water, Psalms 1, and you are producing fruit in every season is a better translation. Nothing can stop you, for you have the power and authority of the covenant. It belongs to God, brought to you. You believe it. You walk it out, and you will see it in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I don't need any more. Everything else is selfish. Why don't you believe for twice your income and give the other half away then? As long as there's hungry people, as long as there's people that haven't heard the gospel, as long as there's children without homes, as long as there's needs out there, we can make an impact. We can make an impact. So your income's not based just about you. You ought to double. I challenge you to begin to believe, pray, and believe for twice the income you make at this second right now. Double it. Make that your target. And if you don't need any more, that's great. Start giving it away and do what God shows you to do with it, because the goal is not for you to settle. The goal is for you to impact your world in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.